In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is one of many days during Lent when a preacher should strive to be as unoriginal as possible. When we are in the face of such a powerful parable as we have from our Lord today, the safest route is to rest with the teachings of those who have gone before us. That is, to look to the teachings of the fathers on these days. Today, Holy Mother Church has St. Ambrose preaching during the night office of the church on today's gospel. But he reflects the unanimity of the church fathers on the subject of these and other parables during Lent. This we will find to be the case even tomorrow. Tomorrow we will have a parable which we know well enough, the parable of the prodigal son. But the church today, as is the case tomorrow, we'll wish to emphasize another point besides the one which we are usually accustomed to thinking of. Today the theme is the passing of the Old Testament and the coming of the New. We have this lesson so many times during Lent that we might almost begin to think of Lent as a sort of Advent, as though we are in joyful expectation of the New Testament to be ushered in. This is our sentiment during Advent. And certainly we are invited to have this thought on our minds during Lent, longing for the work of Christ's redemption to be completed with his death and resurrection, longing for Christmas to be brought to fulfillment with Easter. Certainly our Lord invites us to this understanding of the parable today. For today is the parable of the householder who planted a vineyard and put a hedge about it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and then let it out to the vine dressers and went abroad. But when fruit season drew near, he sent his servants to receive his fruits, and the wine dressers seized his servants, beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent another party of servants, more numerous than the first. They did the same. Finally, he sent his son, saying, "They will respect my son." But the vine dressers, seeing the son, said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and we shall have his inheritance." And so they seized him, cast him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Our Lord then asks his listeners, "What do you think the owner of the vineyard will do when he comes?" And they answer, of course, that he will utterly destroy those evil men. Our Lord then turns to the Psalms, which speak only of him, and remind them, "Did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? By the Lord this has been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and will be given to a people yielding its fruits." It is important to remember that we have another lesson we have received several weeks ago, before we began this season of Lent, from Septuagesima. St. Paul already told us on that Sunday that we would be receiving these instructions from our Lord during Lent. He tells us that all that has happened before has happened as a sort of figure, a prefiguration of what is to come. And he speaks of this stone, this rock, and we shall hear of this again, the rock in the desert that yields water. St. Paul explains that this was one of countless graces showered upon the chosen people when they were delivered from Egypt, when they were in their 40-year exile, making their way toward the Promised Land. 40 years in the desert, symbolizing our 40-day fast. And they had sacraments. And even when they arrived in the Promised Land, they had at long last this vineyard established by the vine dresser. He set up a vineyard and protected it with hedges. And he placed it in a wine press and a tower. He gave them a law, and he gave them sacraments, sacraments which were only a prefiguration of what was to come, but sacraments nonetheless, sacraments which they already had on their way in the desert. For they were given water from the rock and manna from heaven. They all drank from this rock, says St. Paul, and the rock was Christ. This was that same stone of which our Lord speaks today, the stone which the people of the Old Covenant will reject. Yes, that old branch will be cut off, says St. Paul, and a new one grafted on. The branch of the Gentiles who will now be welcomed into the inheritance of the kingdom. But if we have these lessons again and again, year after year, it is not so that as children of the New Testament, we may simply pat ourselves on the back, saying, yes, that old branch was cut off so that we could be placed on. St. Paul warns that this will be our words precisely, and says these must not be our words. No, he reminds us during Septuagesima that all these graces were showered on the chosen people of the Old Testament, and yet, he says, with most of them, God was not well pleased. If this is the case with those who received only a law of bondage and received lifeless sacraments, sacraments which were only symbols of things to come, sacraments which did not confer grace, what are we then to say of those who are children of the New Testament, who receive life-giving sacraments, sacraments that contain and confer the grace they signify? What are we to say of such people who hold the sacraments of this new law of love in contempt? If God was not pleased with the majority of the people of the Old Testament, what can we imagine would be his reaction to those who in his mercy he placed now in his vineyard? What his reaction toward those who are of this new branch that was grafted onto the tree? St. Paul tells us the answer. This new branch that was grafted on could just as easily be broken off again, and the old one placed on. We must then not glory simply in belonging to the New Testament. Our response to what we have received, and what we receive especially during this time of penance, is humility and gratitude for all the graces we have been given, graces which we do not merit, and graces which can alone obtain for us eternal life.